Welcome to the Forgettable Reads Podcast, a no-nonsense sleepcast for the rest of us. No creepy whispering, no bad spa music, no sleepy monotone. Just sincere reads of boring, bland material for all your verbal white noise needs. And now your host, Lauren Good.
Good evening, my friends, and welcome to episode 20, the season 2 finale. We've got some really creative verbal white noise planned for you tonight, and I have no doubt this will probably be our most extended episode to date. So, Alex, obviously I'm always excited when we do extended episodes because it means we get to do so many different things. How do you feel about extended episodes? Because you're the one that really has to put them all together.
I really enjoy the extended episodes. Most of the audio work that I do is just editing voiceovers. So having the chance to get a little more creative and put different kinds of things together for these longer episodes is awesome for me. I love it.
Now that we're nearing the end of season 2, or I guess we're at the end of season 2, what have been some of your favorite moments in the podcast so far?
Well, there's two that come to mind. One, I definitely have been enjoying hearing the ChatGPT responses this season in particular. Those have been really interesting. But also, the parody ads that we did for last season's finale were super fun. And I loved putting those together.
We will be on hiatus for the fall and begin our pre-production for season 3 in the winter. So stay tuned to our Facebook and Patreon pages for season 3 announcements. With that housekeeping business out of the way, I wanted to ramble on tonight and hit one of the last new normal topics in this season, and that would be on perceiving time. It was properly explained to me when I read the book The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. The example he uses about Einstein time is that 2 minutes with your hand touching a hot stove feels like an eternity because you contract. I've also learned this year that the last half mile of very long runs feels exactly the same way, whereas 2 minutes with your lover are gone in the blink of an eye because you expand. Lockdown during the pandemic certainly highlighted the difference between clock time and this perceived Einstein time for many of us. For the first time in my life, I was no longer able to time travel. What do I mean by time travel? Well, when you either get really into the zone or flow while working on projects, or when you get lost in a good book or TV show, your perceived time completely separates from actual clock time. The earliest memory I have of time traveling in this way was back when I was in the 5th grade. Now, back in the 90s in public schools, we used to have these kits or boxes that had reading cards and folders that we would select, read, and then write a report about. Most of my classmates hated this part of class, and it usually took place right before we picked up and went off to our elective PE or music class. But not me. I saw that box as a golden ticket to learn about anything and everything in the world. One day, I selected a tab that was about women in science, and unbeknownst to me, as I was devouring the words, the teacher had called for everyone in the classroom to line up and move on to the next period. The class had left, and the door was locked. Now, luckily, I was able to crawl on top of a bookshelf and wave down another teacher, who was my 4th grade teacher, Mr. Folsom, to send someone to come unlock the door and let me out. But it was my first time travel experience, or at least the first one that I can remember. I sat down to read, and when I looked up, the period was over and the class was gone. Time travel. Everyone else had stayed in regular clock time, and they had lined up as they were supposed to and walked down the hall the same way they do every day. Now, in college, to help negate some of the anxiety around the end of the term, you know, our final exams, the wild unknown of what life was going to be like once we graduated and had to start playing real adults capable of paying off student loans, I picked up a new series of a novel. Now, the author of these novels is no longer someone people like to hear about, so I'm going to leave out the specifics But every night after I finished my end of term project work, I would sit down, and then the next time I'd look up at the clock, it was time for bed. Time travel. I've had that happen on a few binge-worthy shows as well. There was one show in particular, I think it was Queen's Gambit. I literally looked up and the sun was about to come up. Time travel. One of my friends told me shortly after I'd moved to Chicago that she actually had to stop reading on trains because one morning she was so engrossed in her book that she missed the announcement for her stop and had to double back, making her late for work. She said, you know, the commute normally takes 45 minutes, and I've done it so often, I've just gotten so used to the timing. But because I was so engaged in the book, I only thought it had been a couple of minutes or even seconds. That's everyday time travel. But during the early days of the pandemic, it felt like the opposite happened. Instead of looking up and realizing the day was already gone, we'd look up and wonder how only 30 minutes or sometimes even 5 minutes had passed when it seemed like the day should be over. And that's when life took a weird Mary Poppins meets Willy Wonka turn. In order to get perceived time to speed up to somewhat resemble clock time, we all had to start asking, what else can I do to make this more fun? Instead of simply cleaning my kitchen again, why don't I have a dance party to mop up the floor and the counters? I will soak my feet in an Epsom bath bucket under my desk while on this 20th Zoom call so that, I don't know, I can give myself a pedicure later. I wonder what new weird concoction I can make to eat. Is it too early to eat again? Would this task or hour be more enjoyable with a candy bar? Maybe a hard seltzer? Maybe a glass of wine? Or should I just turn music on? How can I make every day more adventurous and appealing so it will stop moving by so slowly? And now, my friends, I think in hindsight, we all have a better understanding of the difference between counting days, counting hours, versus making days count or making hours count. And I think one of the keys in making days or hours count not only has to do with the kind of work you're doing and how passionate you are about it, but finding a way to have it serve a larger purpose or be more of an adventure. Now, that's something I think I developed a knack for when I was teaching after-school drama to 3 and 4-year-olds at the Dallas Children's Theater. You cannot make a toddler want to go to the potty. You cannot make a toddler passionate about going to the potty, but they will gleefully follow you on a super secret spy mission down the hall to the Mission Control Center. And speaking of children, this year I have started training for my first ever 10K. I don't consider myself a runner, right? And that's the truth. All the running I did as a youth was part of soccer. So running was what you had to do to play the game that you wanted to play. And my first experience on a treadmill as an adult was a lot like Gay Hendricks' example of a hot stove. I would just watch the clock in horror that time was moving so slowly and the mileage was just not going up. Anyway, this last weekend, I had my second to last bump up in mileage from 5 to 5.5 miles, and I did. I excruciatingly checked my watch probably every 30 seconds, maybe every minute for the last 10 minutes of that run. But I did keep going because I was going to meet my best friend and her daughter. We always have so much fun together, and we always find ways to turn any mundane thing into a creative adventure. Now, the last time I had seen them was the weekend I ran the Magmile 5K to celebrate being halfway through the 10K training, where, unfortunately, in the middle of our post-race pool party, I got stung by a bee, and we had to cut our time short. So as I was running to meet them last weekend, as my thighs were chafing and my right toes started going numb and my legs were feeling heavier and heavier and heavier, I just kept picturing the fun time that I had at the end of this run. And I reminded myself that if I stopped running now, I'd have even longer to wait to see them because I'd have to walk, and that's so much slower. And between those two things, that did the trick. But backing up for a moment to the bee sting, the last time I saw them. While I am not deathly allergic to bee stings, I am highly, highly reactive to them, and so I avoid bees as much as possible. I am actually usually a bit of a fearful maniac. When too many of them get close to me, or are on my plate, or start dive bombing around my head, I am that crazy lady who will be up and running, like in 2 seconds flat. I've learned how to stay more calm over time, but it's definitely not comfortable, and there's definitely some anxiety about the bees. Now, this was my first sting in over 20 years. Like, that's how good I am at avoiding them. And it immediately started swelling and burning and making my eyes water. I took meds, I used lotions and ointments and sting kill and Benadryl, but it really started impacting my sleep. I would wake up and I would be clawing at my arm every 3 hours. And then eventually, about a week later, I developed a rash that spread up my arm and then across my chest and then down my back. And then it started even having patches on my legs. So I became an adult and I went to the clinic and I was prescribed Prilosec and prednisone. Prednisone is a steroid and it definitely cleared up the rash within 2 days. I no longer wanted to unzip my skin from the rest of my body. But the steroids took what had already been a pretty bad 3-hour napping cycle of sleep and reduced them to 2-hour napping cycles. Which brings me full circle back to our weird little podcast and why it was created. Having these ups and downs last month, it reminded me of all the reasons why we produce these seasons and episodes. And so here are some things to consider if, like me, you've been having trouble sleeping lately. I spent a good portion of January really trying to wrap my head around these things, and so these are the top 10. Sleep is just one aspect of life. It does not define your worth. It does not define your success. Missing a few hours of sleep occasionally is not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. Your body is resilient, and it can function reasonably well with occasional sleep deprivation. Your body is designed to adapt and cope with sleep fluctuations. Stressing about not falling asleep, which is what I used to do, can ironically make it harder to sleep. By adopting a relaxed attitude, you can reduce the pressure to sleep and in turn make it easier to drift off. I also read a thing that said, with sleep, we have to allow it, not try to do it. And I love that. Resting and relaxing in bed, even if you're not sleeping, can still provide some physical and mental rejuvenation. Your body benefits from relaxation, even if it's not a deep sleep state. Just giving your eyes a break from screens is an amazing gift you can give yourself. People often overestimate the amount of sleep they need. Quality of sleep is more important than the quantity. Focusing on improving your sleep quality can be more beneficial than tracking and obsessing over the hours. There are many, many, many successful people who have experienced periods of sleeplessness. It's very common, it's part of life, and it does not have to define your well-being, nor does it have to get in the way with your productivity. Accepting occasional sleeplessness is a normal part of life, and it can help reduce frustration if we do accept it. Sleep patterns naturally fluctuate, and so there will be nights when sleep comes easily and is deeper, and some nights when it is just more elusive and not. It's all part of the ebb and flow. It's your sleep guide. Remember that tomorrow is a new day, and so even if you've had a sleepless night tonight, you can still make the most of the day ahead. Now, we've said from the very beginning that our verbal white noise, Sleepcast for the rest of us, was here to provide an alternative to whispers and other ASMR, traditional sleep aids, meditation guides, Reiki sessions. And so for tonight's reading, we'll dive into what in the world ASMR actually is. And in the process, we're going to call back to some of the parody pandemic ads that made season one so special for Alex and I. So without further ado, here is tonight's reading. Rest well. The subculture of ASMR, origins, features, and applications as generated from ChatGPT. ASMR, short for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, is a sensory phenomenon that has gained significant popularity in recent years. Often associated with relaxation and a unique tingling sensation, ASMR has found its way into various aspects of our lives, from online content creation to therapeutic practices. In this article, we will explore the history, features, and applications of ASMR, shedding light on this intriguing sensory experience. ASMR's origins can be traced back to the early 2010s, when a small but dedicated online community began to explore and document the tingling sensations experienced while listening to certain sounds and whispered voices. But it wasn't until 2010 that Jennifer Allen coined the term ASMR to describe these pleasurable tingling feelings. What ASMR typically features? Gentle sounds. ASMR content typically revolves around soft and soothing sounds, such as whispering, tapping, crinkling, and brushing. These sounds are carefully crafted to trigger a calming response in the listener. Tingles and relaxation. One of the primary features of ASMR is the tingling sensation experienced by those who are receptive to it. This sensation often starts at the scalp and moves down the spine, leading to deep relaxation and stress reduction. ASMR tingles refer to the tingling sensations experienced by some individuals when they are exposed to specific auditory or visual stimuli. These tingling sensations are often described as a pleasurable and relaxing feeling that typically begins at the scalp and can travel down the spine or throughout the body. People who experience ASMR tingles often find them soothing and enjoyable. They typically begin at the scalp and travel down the spine or throughout the body. They are physical sensations that can manifest as a gentle, static-like feeling on the skin. Some describe it as a light, electrical sensation, or a subtle warmth. ASMR tingles are typically triggered by specific sensory stimuli, such as soft-spoken or whispered speech, tapping sounds, crinkling noises, or visual cues, like slow, deliberate hand movements. People who experience ASMR tingles often report feelings of deep relaxation, calmness, and sometimes even a mild euphoria. It can create a sense of well-being and reduce stress and anxiety. It's important to note that ASMR tingles are distinct from sexual arousal. ASMR is a non-sexual phenomenon, and its purpose is to induce relaxation and comfort rather than sexual excitement. ASMR triggers are highly subjective and can vary from person to person. What induces tingles in one individual may not have the same effect on another. Common triggers include whispering, tapping, role plays, and personal attention scenarios. ASMR tingles remain an intriguing and somewhat mysterious aspect of the ASMR phenomenon. Research into the underlying mechanisms and neurological basis of ASMR is ongoing, as scientists seek to better understand why some people experience these pleasurable sensations while others do not. Personal attention. Many ASMR video and audio recordings feature role plays where the ASMRtist, the content creator, provides personal attention, such as a virtual haircut or medical examination. This simulated personal interaction adds an intimate element to the experience. Why ASMR is used? Entertainment. ASMR has found a home on platforms like YouTube and Twitch, where creators produce ASMR videos and live streams. These videos cover a wide range of triggers and scenarios, catering to diverse audiences seeking relaxation and entertainment. Sleep aid. ASMR has gained recognition as an effective tool for managing insomnia and improving sleep quality. Many people use ASMR content as a bedtime ritual to help them relax and drift into a peaceful slumber. Stress relief. ASMR has therapeutic potential for stress relief and anxiety management. Some individuals use ASMR as a form of self-soothing during stressful moments, providing a brief escape from the pressures of daily life. It creates a distinct and rhythmic auditory pattern that many find relaxing. ASMR triggers often involve repetitive and predictable patterns, which can be comforting and trigger the sensation. It's important to note that ASM artists experiment with a wide variety of triggers, including tapping, whispering, brushing, and role-playing to cater to the diverse preferences of their audiences. Nail clicking is just one of the many techniques they use to elicit ASMR responses. The effectiveness of any trigger can vary from person to person. ASMR artists aim to create content that helps people relax, experience ASMR, and reduce stress or anxiety. Education and therapy. ASMR is being explored as a tool for education and therapy. It has been used in classrooms to enhance focus and attention and is being studied for its potential benefits in therapy sessions, particularly for individuals with sensory processing disorders. Who uses ASMR? ASMR appeals to a wide and diverse audience. While it started as a niche online community, it has since attracted millions of followers worldwide. People of all ages and backgrounds turn to ASMR for relaxation, entertainment, and stress relief. ASMR content creators, known as ASMRtists, come from various walks of life, from educators to artists, leveraging their talents to craft and soothing experiences. ASMR, with its rich history and diverse applications, has emerged as a unique and effective way to induce relaxation, reduce stress, and promote overall well-being. As the understanding of ASMR continues to grow, it may find new and innovative applications across various fields, making it an intriguing topic for researchers, content creators, and those seeking a moment of tranquility in today's fast-paced world. But it isn't for everyone. Some individuals find ASMR triggers overwhelming or even aversive. What may induce relaxation in one person can be discomforting or irritating to another. Additionally, there is a lack of scientific validation. While ASMR has gained popularity, scientific research on the phenomenon remains relatively limited. Some skeptics argue that the physiological and psychological mechanisms behind ASMR are not well understood or universally accepted. Not everyone experiences ASMR, and the degree of receptivity to ASMR triggers varies among individuals. Genetic, psychological, and environmental factors may contribute to this variability. ASMR content can be highly subjective. What one person finds soothing, another may find mundane or uninteresting. ASMR preferences are diverse and can be influenced by personal tastes and cultural differences. Critics argue that some ASMR creators may produce content solely for profit or exploitation, rather than genuinely aiming to induce relaxation. This can lead to a negative perception of the ASMR community as a whole. ASMR roleplay scenarios often involve personal attention and intimacy. Some argue that this blurs the ethical boundaries and may make viewers uncomfortable or raise concerns about consent and privacy. The decentralized nature of ASMR content creation means there is little regulation or quality control. As a result, there may be a wide range of content quality, making it difficult for viewers to find reliable and genuine ASMR experiences. There are other factors to consider on why ASMR works for some people but not others. ASMR sensitivity may be influenced by neurological factors. Some individuals may have heightened sensitivity to specific sensory stimuli, making them more likely to experience ASMR. ASMR's effectiveness can be influenced by an individual's current emotional or psychological state. Those who are stressed or anxious may be more receptive to ASMR's relaxation effects. Past experiences and associations with ASMR triggers can impact receptivity. For example, positive childhood memories associated with certain sounds may increase one's responsiveness to ASMR. Like with addiction, there can also be too much of a good thing. Overexposure to ASMR content or repeated exposure to the same triggers can lead to habituation, reducing the tingling sensations and the relaxation response. Novel ASMR triggers or content may be more likely to induce the desired sensation, as the brain tends to respond more strongly to new stimuli. Belief in the effectiveness of ASMR can influence one's receptivity. Those who approach ASMR content with an open mind and positive expectations are more likely to experience its benefits. Whereas skepticism or preconceived negative notions about ASMR can hinder one's ability to relax and experience the intended sensations. In conclusion, ASMR is a phenomenon that elicits varied responses due to individual differences, preferences, and sensitivities. While it provides relaxation and comfort for many, it may not be universally effective, and some individuals may have valid reasons to be critical of or skeptical about its benefits. Further research is needed to better understand the mechanisms of ASMR and its implications for different populations. In a world filled with noise and chaos, there exists a phenomenon that transcends the ordinary. Prepare to embark on a sensory journey like no other. Introducing ASMR, the Whispered Symphony. In the hushed corners of the internet, a subculture has emerged where the softest sounds ignite the strongest sensations. In one moment, it's a whisper. Now, it's a brush. Now, she's tapping her fingernails on plastic and shaking whatever liquid is in that glass bottle. As she smacks her lips, clicks and pops gently into your ears, it will send shivers down your spine. A phenomenon that will take you to the edge of your senses. Meet the ASMRtists, the creators who wield the power of their imaginations and available props to conjure your tingles and euphoria. They guide you through a realm of triggers. Crinkling paper, the rustling of leaves, the squeaking of latex gloves, the scratching of chopsticks on real and synthetic hair, each designed to transport you to euphoria. It's a cinematic experience that dives deep into role-playing, awkwardly phrased sentences, outrageous backdrops, and so much more. Prepare to embark on an adventure like no other. ASMR, the Whispered Symphony. I have questions. First, isn't the sound of someone deliberately yet nonsensically tapping their fingernails on different objects, including the microphone, the opposite of relaxing? The perception of sounds, including nail clicking, as annoying or relaxing, can vary greatly from person to person. What one individual finds soothing and pleasurable, another may find irritating or unpleasant. This subjectivity is a fundamental aspect of the ASMR experience and illustrates why ASMR content creators offer a wide variety of triggers to cater to different preferences. ASMR content creators aim to provide a range of triggers in their videos precisely because people have diverse preferences. While nail clicking may be effective for some viewers, others may prefer triggers like whispering, tapping, or soft-spoken role plays. The goal is to offer a broad spectrum of ASMR experience to ensure that as many people as possible can find content that suits their personal preferences and induces relaxation rather than annoyance. So in professional voiceover, artists tend to clean up or edit the noises that their mouths make, but ASMR artists actually make those noises on purpose. Why is that? The differences in approach between professional voiceover artists and ASMR artists regarding mouth noises stem from the distinct goals and intended effects of each respective content. Voiceover artists working in fields like film, television, radio, or narration typically aim to create polished and clean audio recordings. They undergo extensive training to minimize or eliminate unwanted mouth noise, such as clicks, pops, lip smacks, as these can all be distracting and undesirable in traditional broadcast or voiceover work. The goal is to provide a clear, professional, and seamless audio experience for the audience. ASMR artists, on the other hand, intentionally incorporate certain mouth noises and other subtle sounds into their content because these noises are ASMR triggers for many individuals. The ASMR community has identified a wide range of sounds that induce pleasurable tingling sensations and relaxation in receptive viewers. These sounds can include gentle mouth sounds like whispering, lip smacking, clicking, or even chewing gum. ASMR artists use these triggers to create an immersive and soothing experience for their audience, aiming to induce ASMR tingles and a sense of relaxation. The differing goals and intended effects of these two types of content dictate their approaches to managing mouth noise. What is the most generally agreed upon soothing sound for most people? People obviously have their own personal preferences, but which are the most searched for terms in terms of relaxation on the internet? While people have individual preferences for soothing sounds, there are several sounds that tend to be commonly associated with relaxation and are often searched for online. These sounds are not universally soothing for everyone, but they do have a broad appeal. Some of the most generally agreed upon soothing sounds include nature sounds. Such sounds as gentle rain, ocean waves, rustling leaves, and flowing streams are frequently sought after for relaxation. These sounds connect people to the calming rhythms of the natural world. White noise. White noise, which is a consistent, unchanging sound like a fan or static, can help mask background noise and promote relaxation. Variations like pink and brown noise are also popular choices. Birdsong. The chirping of birds, especially in the morning or during a calm, peaceful outdoor setting, is often associated with tranquility and can invoke a sense of peace. Instrumental music. Soft instrumental music, particularly pieces featuring piano, acoustic guitar, or orchestral arrangements, is widely appreciated for its ability to induce relaxation. Wind chimes. The gentle tinkling of wind chimes in a breeze is a soothing sound for many as it's often associated with mindfulness and meditation. Fire crackling. The sound of crackling fire, whether it's a real fireplace or a simulated one, is commonly used in relaxation and sleep-inducing videos. Guided meditations. While not a sound in the traditional sense of sounds, guided meditations featuring calming voices and serene imagery are popular for relaxation and stress reduction. Waterfalls. The powerful yet rhythmic sound of a waterfall is often found to be calming and is frequently used in meditation and relaxation recordings. Crickets at night. The peaceful chirping of crickets on a quiet moonlit night is a sound that many find soothing and comforting. Okay, I think I understand. So finally, can you list 25 alternatives to counting sheep? I can certainly list 25 alternatives to counting sheep. Counting kittens. Counting puppies. Counting baby bunnies. Counting fluffy clouds. Counting fireflies. Counting floating balloons. Counting gentle ocean waves. Counting glowing stars. Counting floating feathers, counting smiling sunflowers, counting playful pandas, counting laughing babies, counting cozy teddy bears, counting hopping frogs, counting quacking ducklings, counting twinkling fireflies, counting rustling autumn leaves, counting skipping stones, counting fluffy white clouds, counting waddling penguins, counting friendly ladybugs, counting giggling children, counting fluttering butterflies, counting peaceful water lily pads, counting warm hugs. Ooh, I like that. Let's count friendly ladybugs. In a world of endless dreams, where the moonlight playfully gleams, there's a bedtime secret you ought to know. And it isn't about counting sheep. Why count sheep when you could count friendly ladybugs? Counting friendly ladybugs as they dawdle to and fro is the sweetest way for dreams to take flight. One ladybug, two ladybugs, and so many more in sight. As you lay in bed so still, let their colors into your heart to fulfill peace and comfort throughout the night. Friendly ladybugs with spots so bright, guiding you to bliss throughout the night in a world where everything feels right. Discover the magic of counting friendly ladybugs, where every dream is a cozy hug. Friendly ladybugs rather than sheep, your sleep journey awaits. Available now for dozing services near you.